40 years.
The views and opinions of the guest and host you hear on 1010 WOLB
are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio 1, its sponsors, or advertisers.
Eat up, little cedar. On a marble stand, trying to find the ocean, looking everywhere. Hard times in the city.
And a good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Coach's Corner featuring TJ Smith with your host, Coach Butch McAdams. And this show is sponsored in part by our friends at J&W Brown. And they are general contracting licensed home improvement business servicing all of your home renovational needs. That's interior and exterior. Folks, they are simply the best. And they are African-American owned. Now, for their service, don't hesitate. Pick up the phone. Dial this number. Write it down. 410-728-5000. That's 410-728-5000. That's the number to J&W Brown General Contracting. And another initiative we are so proud of, and that is a step forward. And they have provided residential treatment services, mental health, and substance abuse treatment for well over 20 years. Listen to their goal is to return to the communities, men and women who have hope and a future. Now, if you or you know someone that's in need of help, don't hesitate again. 410-462-6001. That's 410-462-6001, and ask for Dr. Campbell. And Shooting for Peace, it's a grassroots nonprofit. Check them out. They use sports and current and former pro athletes to teach life lessons to youth and their families. And TJ Smith, what about the other outstanding business that is a sponsor on the Coach's Corner?
Yes, if you're in the market to move out into the suburbs, but not too far from the city and close to the highway, for more than 50 years, Briarcliff has been the number one apartment community in Cockeysville, known for having an extensive list of features, amenities, and community first. Conveniently located near restaurants and shopping, Briarcliff communities include 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartment homes, many of them with dens. Call 410-316-1340 to schedule a tour now. That's 410-316-1340.
And as always, if you have a business out there, hey, don't hesitate. Email TJ Smith. How can they reach you, TJ?
TJSmithMedia@gmail.com. You can go to the website, TJSmithMedia.com, and you can also catch the replays of Coach's Corner there. And they can catch you where?
And they can catch me at ButchMcAdams@yahoo.com. And you know what someone once said, TJ? You can have the greatest product in the world, but you can't sell a secret. And so if you want your business to be read and heard on this very popular show, thank God, it's becoming the talk of Baltimore, all you have to do is reach out to one of us. Guarantee you we'll give you a good, affordable price. And your business will be heard over these airways. All right, TJ, let's get into the segment we call the Rundown. And, hey, it's football season, and during the football season between now and February, we got to start off talking NFL. And, of course, the Ravens, your Ravens, of course, were victorious yesterday. Let me get your thoughts on that. And then I'll give you my thoughts on the contract situation between Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Yes, well, first, I was privileged to be in New Jersey yesterday to watch the Ravens take over the Jets, and especially on 9/11, 22 years later, as we honor those who lost their lives back in 2001. So great atmosphere and a lot of Ravens fans. Ravens fans traveled very well up to Jersey yesterday for the game, and we walked away victorious. But what I will say to Ravens fans, after watching the first half of football, a lot of people probably had the angst and anxiety like I did and many other Ravens fans, where it's like, what is going on? Why are they not clicking? Well, if we put it in perspective, this Ravens team hasn't played together as a first-team offense or defense, for that matter, in nearly a season and a half, because they were obliterated last year by injury. Lamar Jackson didn't take any snaps this season with the first-team offense in real game action, preseason football. So this is basically a preseason, just getting warmed up. So we saw him turn it on in the second half, and I think we saw some pieces of that puzzle starting to come together. And I was impressed with a lot of the defense, that defensive front especially. We saw some good push from some of the people like Michael Pierce, who was brought back into the fold, and Justin Houston, who is back out there, who got in there for some sacks. So I was happy with what they were able to do and neutralize our boy Joe Flacco and those New York or New Jersey Jets.
Well, look, if you are a Ravens fan, and I am not, and you are, and I would imagine that 90 to 95% of our listeners are, there's good news and bad news, mainly good news. The good news is, in the NFL, anytime you get a victory, especially on the road, you're fine, okay? And they played against what I think is going to be one of the worst teams or one of the weaker teams in the league, in the Jets, but that's not their fault. Okay, they did what good teams do. You play the schedule that is handed to you, and they defeated a team that they should have defeated them in. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The other good news is that the defensive backfield, that's where the talent is. Those safeties are spectacular. As you stated, the defensive line looked good. Now, the bad news, and it's not a lot, the offensive line still didn't look real good. And Lamar got hit too many times. Also, the bad news, Ravens only rushed for something like 63 yards. And that's not going to get it when they play Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Buffalo, and Tampa Bay, good teams, that's not going to get it. And so that they have some work to do, but once again, they did what well-coached teams do. You win the game. You win the game. Now, this situation with Lamar, your thoughts, and then I'll give you mine.
Well, yeah, you talk about a controversial subject, the pay him. Now, I will say this. I want to say this up front. I believe that the NFL, and I know we're going to disagree on this because I think we've talked about it before, but I believe the NFL needs to go to a Larry Bird-style bargaining or contract salary cap agreement with teams that excludes the max contract, one max contract, from the team salary cap, because what Cleveland did was cripple a lot of teams that aren't perennial losers like Cleveland, where they just can't pay. And I don't know if it was some type of brilliant move by Cleveland where they said, well, we're going to make sure Cincinnati and Baltimore can't pay their top quarterback, or if they do decide to pay their top quarterback, they're not going to have the other pieces because they won't be able to pay them. I'm disappointed that they weren't able to come to an agreement. I understand why Lamar would be demanding the Deshaun Watson-type salary, but I don't believe that the Deshaun Watson-type salary is realistic. I think that's what a perennial bad franchise does when they don't really know how to win. And I think a perennial good franchise like the Ravens, in their existence since 1996, winning two championships, being a perennial winning team, knows how to budget properly to bring in the elements that are needed for the team to continue to win and be a successful team that can, like last year, still be in the playoff conversation even when you're on your fourth running back, your fourth string running back, when you're on your fourth string quarterback, when you have been obliterated with your cornerback situation. So that's what I think. And he would have been the number two paid quarterback in the league based on what has leaked out had he taken the deal that had been offered, the last best offer from the Ravens. And it would have been short of Deshaun Watson, but it would have been more than Russell Wilson, who has hardware. It would have been more than Kyler Murray and others who have gotten contracts recently.
I agree 100%, and I hope the people who want to talk about the Ravens are racist, the Ravens don't want to pay the black man, that's some crap. Say that for somebody else's show. Okay, because what T.J. Smith just laid out was the absolute truth. First of all, no sound, productive organization is going to give a quarterback that much guaranteed money. And Baltimore is basically saying, you know what? Cleveland is Cleveland. And when's the last time they've been to a Super Bowl? When's the last time, you know, they've been to a AFC championship, okay? But we are not going to give a foolish contract. Lamar Jackson is crazy for not taking that deal because of what you say. I don't believe anything short of him taking this team to a Super Bowl and he being the Super Bowl MVP, I don't think he's going to get a better offer than what you just stated and what he just turned down.
And if he does, it's going to be with a team that's a perennial loser. And, you know, you can go
that's
to
right.
and lose. You can go to Cleveland and lose. Go to some of these teams and make – I mean, you think Matthew Stafford has made the most money in NFL history as a player. And it wasn't until he moved and went to Los Angeles where they kind of mortgaged their franchise by making the trades they did to win. And they won now, but it took that long, 14 years, before he actually won – even with all the money.
And that's part of when we go to the lines, the discussion topics are what we discuss in a rundown. Nothing else. No ad-libbing, no open lines, but, you know, you have three or four topics in the rundown, and the Ravens are one, but TJ and I both agree that it was not good business sense for Lamar Jackson to turn that contract down, and he turned down $133 million guaranteed.
And I actually think that it was more than that with all the different incentives or what have you. And one of the things that was also leaked out yesterday, it was a $2.5 million per year de-escalation clause if he didn't attend an X amount of off-season workouts. And you know, look, they're investing the most money ever into you as a player, into you as a franchise. And the only thing that they're asking in return is we need you to show up for a percentage of these off-season workouts. They want to invest in their product. I don't think that's unreasonable, and I don't know that many people can find that.
Man, but what does that tell you? The same thing we said about the Kyler Murray, the clause in his contract, okay, about more film session, et cetera. It tells you that the Ravens have not been totally satisfied with Lamar's participation on off-season workouts, team workouts.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, let's get to rundown issue number two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The water situation. I'll listen. I will defer to you initially, and I'll give you my thoughts. But once again, Brandon Scott, and this is Coach. This isn't TJ. This isn't the station. This is Coach. Thus far, Brandon Scott is displaying that he is the worst mayor in terms of administrative abilities that I've witnessed in my 20-plus years of being on the air. Now, I thought Rollins Blake was bad. Of course, O'Malley did some terrible things, but in terms of being an administrator and being aware of things, in my opinion, Brandon Scott is horrible. And he spends more time defending bad decisions than saying, hey, you know what? We missed this one. We're going to do better next time. But this is inexcusable, TJ. And before I go to you, it's the old Howard Baker question. When did you know it, and what did you do? Please expound.
Yeah, a week ago today, there was a totally different tone in the city of Baltimore. We're fortunate that the issue has been resolved. But I think that the point you made, when and what, is a big question. Now, one concern that I had, I mean, as they acted on it, was one of the statements that did come out from the mayor, which was there was no bungling of communication. We followed the protocol of how we communicate. The Maryland Department of Environment says to DPW, yes, you can say this at this time. That was followed. That wasn't something DPW mismanaged. Now, me, from my communications viewpoint, would have said or recommended that we take the feedback that so many people were expressing a week ago today, where it was a lot of frustration about communication, and use that and say, you know what? We're evaluating our response. We have heard everyone and heard how everyone was upset with the way they found out about this, and we're going to evaluate our response to ensure we do a better job next time. There's nothing wrong with that. Hubris and humility is a big thing in governing and a big thing in leadership, and I think that they fell short in that last week because the complaints were aplenty, and they were coming from not only citizens, but coming from council people, coming from elected officials. So before, you know, you do an end zone dance and celebrate the wrapping up of the situation that took place, it was a serious situation for hours. And DPW went a legit at least 12 hours without tweeting out information, without putting it on multiple platforms to ensure the vast majority of the public was able to get the information. And regardless of who were the direct impacted folks, there were people upstream who did not know if they were impacted. You had the other jurisdictions, Baltimore County, Howard County, Anne Arundel County, putting out their own messaging saying, no, you're wrong, DPW. When you mistrust the messenger, then you're going to mistrust a lot of what's said beyond that. So I think they had an opportunity to acknowledge that they could have definitely addressed things better, and this is how.
But this is Exhibit A. You know, when I was coaching, you could look at certain players and say, well, this player has the ability to do it, but he or she just needs to be a little more focused or put more time or, be more. But then there were certain players that you could just say, hey, they just don't have it. Right now, Brandon Scott does not have it. He doesn't have it. And this is, I would say Exhibit A, but this is Exhibit B, C, D. And at first, the initial statement from him was that he was upset that he didn't find, and I'm paraphrasing, he was upset that he didn't find out until, later, correct?
Correct. This is the news is going to definitely look into this. We'll see the newspaper doing follow-ups. I think Councilman Costello has already called a hearing on this because there are indications that whether it was Friday or Saturday, there was information known then, and it wasn't until early Monday morning when the information was finally put out, and it was hours upon hours later before it was actually spoken about in front of the cameras. And again, you know, I'm being, you know, critical, and this is, you know, hindsight, but I think with something as complex as this, using visuals would have also helped because as they described it being a downstream issue, you could have shown the public where the issue is isolated to and why people north of that issue or north of that area would not be affected and why it's concentrated in this particular area and why these people aren't necessarily going to be impacted by it. I think it just would have helped in understanding, and clarity of the message is super, super important, especially when you're dealing with crisis. And, you know, one thing I'm going to say, I'm a crisis communication expert. And, you know, I don't say that often about myself, but I'm going to say it today. I'm a crisis communication expert, and clarity of messaging is critically important in a crisis.
And that's one of the reasons why I selected you to be a co-host, because of your great expertise in crises and in law enforcement, et cetera. Now, let's go to the next story where I have a great amount of expertise. I don't want to say I'm an expert, but I could say it. And that's coaching and athletics. And what I'm saying is that, well, I'll ask you the question, sir. Why hasn't North Avenue A or the principal Dunbar or the athletic director Dunbar, why haven't they suspended Coach Smith? Why is this guy still coaching? Now, I didn't say he should be fired or removed because he's not been convicted. But with these investigations right now hanging over him, I think they're doing a tremendous injustice to allow this man to continue to coach. And I think that it is tarnishing a storied high school sports history such as the Dunbar Ports.
Yeah.
The latest, TJ, you know, at first there were some discrepancies and questions about the overtime. Now there's an issue reportedly about the renting of a field. And did he have the proper authority? Did he go through the proper chain of command? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, and you actually have multi-layers here because of the fact that he's also a school police officer. So you even have that administrative process as well that might trigger something. And we also have to acknowledge the fact that this is something that's being leaked as opposed to any sort of indictment or charges. There haven't been anything filed yet. So how often do these type of situations go on under the cover of anonymity? So we have to keep that. Are we going to react because it's in the news versus how many other issues exist that aren't in the news that people might and administration might know about? If they have an inkling that this is going to lead to an or an indictment because of criminal activity, they absolutely should go ahead and do an administrative suspension for the time being, understanding that this is likely going to lead to an indictment. And that's just being proactive at this point if they know, and considering what they might have turned over, because they do know that much of the investigation internally at this point.
This looks like, and again, I'm just going by the reports, but by the reports to me, this looks like a big issue in terms of the IRS. Okay. Mm-hmm. And as I stated, when you allow another entity to use your facility, you got to go through the proper chain of command. It doesn't stop at the coach, okay? It should have gone to the from the coach to the athletic director to the principal and possibly North Avenue. But from what I'm reading, and I wasn't there, it's all allegations and reports that the field was being rented out and North Avenue wasn't aware of it. Okay.
Yeah.
And the administration in Dunbar reportedly was not aware of it. Now, if that's the case, I'm saying how in the world could the athletic director and or the principal not know that another league was using their field?
Well, even beyond that, Coach, if that is accurate, if that is the case, then you know, you actually know the answer to that. You don't need an investigation to tell you, did you know or not? And you have some sort of proof that that in fact occurred. Again, a suspension is not any sort of penalty of guilt. And maybe it could be a union thing, because it could be some sort of punitive penalty if this could escalate. But if you do know that, then it might behoove you to make some sort of administrative suspension pending the outcome of the investigation. Because
I just think that he, for right now, his coaching duties should be suspended, because with this investigation hanging over his head and these reports coming out publicly, then it does not give Dunbar High School a good look. And as I said, one of the more storied sports programs in the area and possibly in the nation. Final of the rundown. Now, you can start calling in, and we want first-time callers and frequent callers. 410-481-1010. Pick up a line. And the final part of the rundown, TJ, we're finally here, man. This time next week, guess what?
The trial.
The Marilyn Mosby trial. And I'm going to say it's going to be, I don't have a crystal ball. St. Peter doesn't whisper in my ear. I can only go by what I see, and no one knows for certain. But anything short of a miracle, I don't see how Marilyn Mosby escapes 4 indictments.
Right. Well, here's a few things, Coach. So one of the rulings last week, there were several motions hearings, and she won one of them. And that was where the prosecution can't mention about the businesses that she owned were inoperable. That came up during the investigation with the attorney, the city inspector general. And there were some statements that were put out from the state's attorney's office. And apparently that can't be mentioned in the trial next week. But one of the other things that people who will have interest in.
Now, are you sure of that? I'm not certain of that now.
That's what was reported. That's the one. That was the one motion that the defense actually won, which analysts are calling a small victory, where they can't bring up the inoperable businesses that the businesses were inoperable. That's part of the defense, that the businesses were losing money. And the argument has been, well, she said that the businesses weren't even operable, and it's been a lot of back and forth about that. So according to what I've read in the paper, and hopefully that's not wrong, that information won't be able to be part of the trial that the prosecution can put.
But they will be able to use the term hardship, correct?
No, yeah, totally different. That's totally different. But again, the hardship for what purpose is going to be different. And again, I don't know all the rules of evidence, so I don't want to pretend to be a legal expert in that regard, but as far as the prosecution proactively bringing up and using witnesses to say, hey, this is what happened, they can't. Now, if somehow or another the defense brings something close to it in, then the judge could have a separate hearing while court is in session. But the one area that people can pay attention to next week is going to be what's called voir dire, where they pick the jury. And people have to understand, this is the jury from the state of Maryland pool, not the Baltimore City pool. So there are going to be people with a lot of different opinions who aren't Baltimore City residents that make up the jury.
Okay, now, but now I'm reading this, that prosecutors are prepared to argue Mosby made more money in 2020 than she did in 2019. He also, they also said that they're likely to pull previous statements and testimony from people claiming the businesses she owned were inoperable at the time. And here's a quote. The Department of Justice plans to elicit testimony from two witnesses, her attorney and the state's attorney's office spokesperson, who are going to say in prior statements that she was not using those businesses at the time of the pandemic. Therefore, she couldn't suffer financial hardship from this withdrawal. So that now that's what they will be able to do. And I don't know how the defense is going to get around that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully there's some legal expert that might be listening that knows a lot more about this than us, because they seem to be very important points that if they do come up, and that part of it makes it very difficult, you know, to get around the black and white version of the law when it comes to this. So we'll see. So ready to go to the line? And see what the people have.
Where you going, Lions? Hey, I just got a text from a friend. He said, hey, Nebraska football just fired their head coach. They gave him a big payout. Can Baltimore City fire its mayor and give him a big payout? That's a good idea if you could do it. I don't think you can do it, but that would be a good idea if possible. All right, 410-481-1010. Everybody's doing okay, so when we come to you, get straight to the point and hit the rundown. Let's go to Dwight. Dwight, you're up.
Hello, Coach. Hey, TJ. How
yes,
you doing,
sir.
Buddy?
Good afternoon. All right, we're doing fine. What's up, brother?
First time caller on your show.
Welcome. Thank you. Welcome, sir.
I've been listening, but it's first time. Very informative show so far this morning that I've heard. The points that y'all made, oh man, it's really informative, man. I'm really getting a lot out of your show this morning. And
all right, what's your question?
I had an argument with my cousin. I'm glad y'all brought that up about the Ravens, because y'all put a little clarification in me, because I told him the same thing as y'all said about, you know, Lamar. And I have a question. Does he have an agent? Because somebody said on the news to say he didn't have an agent.
He does not have an agent. Which,
right. When his mother handled his finances? When his mother into it? Did he let her go?
Well, his mother was representing him at one point, but right. Again, he's in the big league. And if you look at those quarterbacks who received those extensions,
right.
I'd be willing to bet, TJ, that most of them, if not all, have agents.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. They all do. I mean, I don't think that there's – I mean, and, you know, I get it for the next contract, but I think for his first big contract with the league, it might have been in his best interest to have professional counsel. And he's getting counsel, but having the agent close the deal.
And the point that I was trying to make to my cousin that I'm going to go, if he gets hurt, then he's not going to be with us no more. They're going to let him go. Nobody don't want no hurt person.
Well, if he gets hurt, he certainly loses a large part of his bargaining, you know. But I think there's, Hey, thanks for the call, Dwight.
Okay, y'all. Be good.
As I said before, the contract that he turned down is foolish. It is crazy. Lamar, brother, if you're listening, you're not going to get more money than what you turned down. Take it. You know, that look, $133 million will buy everything that $230 million will buy. Take the contract.
A lot of pressure, too, so we'll see.
All right, let's go to Kevin. Kevin, you're up next. Talk to me.
All right, TJ, you was right, and I told y'all that before, that lawyer that she has, I don't know what he's doing, but she should have never walked in the Garnett building. She should have took that case to Prince George's County over in Greenbelt, because most of the people they're going to pick, like you said, I guess y'all finally figured it out, are going to be from the Eastern Shore and everywhere else. She's in trouble. You know what I mean? I told everybody, stay out of the Garnett building. You don't have a chance in a prayer walking into the Garnett Building. Now, here's the problem. If Rift Crew Steakhouse, a national chain, received $30 million, and then when they said something about it, they was able to give it back, she might be able to escape with that because they gave back the money. Okay? The other problem here in this motion thing is...
Hold on. Are you saying that she can give the money back? I don't think she got the money to give back.
I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about if Ruth Chris Steakhouse received money from COVID and then they decided once they publicized it and they were making money, they get it back, then she got a good chance there. That's what I'm just saying. You understand what I'm saying?
I think we're talking about two different issues. She's
totally
not,
different.
If my recollection of the charges is correct, she's not charged with the misuse of COVID funds. She's charged with misusing her pension, basically, or defrauding with the perjury thing, checking off
that's
the
right.
hardship thing to withdraw early from her pension without penalty. So,
okay, but it elaborated in Florida, and what made them look at her way down in Florida? Did somebody in the transaction business, when she did them home title things and bought them houses, who told the federal government that she was purchasing a house down there?
That's not the issue.
They have to have a reason to investigate you.
Listen, the issue is not who dropped the dime. The issue is, did she do it? Or did she not do it? Was she eligible? Was she eligible, as TJ just stated, under the guidelines of the CARES Act? Was she eligible to get the money? Okay. And the other one was she aware when she signed on the dotted line that there was not a tax lien on one of her properties? That's the issue. That's the issue in a nutshell. All that other stuff, that's talk radio stuff. That's not the trial stuff.
Okay, well, Ed Norris had the same almost ridiculous charges.
Yeah, and he went to jail.
And he went to jail. I'm just saying, yeah. But he
listen real quick. He's a convicted felon who wanted Donald Trump to give him a pardon. You know,
right.
And he suffered greatly as a result of what he was convicted of, and you can call it politics or otherwise. So let's be accurate with it. Remember, we have to bring receipts and be accurate. He went to jail for 5 months. He lost his livelihood. He could have possibly been police commissioner again elsewhere, but because he's a convicted felon, he can't be. So he's been a talk show host for many years. And I guarantee you, if Ed had the opportunity in the early 2000s to get back into law enforcement, he probably would have, but he can't with the felony conviction. And again, politics or otherwise, that's what happened at the time. So, you know, that's what Coach said. In the courtroom, it's a whole different set of rules than what we talk about out here in the public. So thanks for your call.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We got a line available, 410-481-1010. That's what we're looking for. Infrequent callers, first time callers, we want to hear your thoughts. We're talking about the Lamar Jackson contract or lack of. We're talking about the contaminated water. We are talking about the coach of Dunbar, Baltimore football under investigation and the up and coming Marlon Mosby trial. Let's go to John. John, you're up.
How you fellas doing?
My man, John.
This is only the second time I've ever called your show.
That's right, John. You're welcome to call my show.
Okay, real quick. Lamar, what he's doing is risky, but if he plays for $23 million this year, next year, if they give him the exclusive franchise tag, he would get $46 million, I think I've seen. And then over $50 million if they use it. And that's what Kirk Cousins did. You know, it's risky if he gets injured. But in Sheila's case, in Kyler Mosby's case, some things are just clear cut. Now, I know myself because I have the RA. I mean, you you cannot withdraw money from that account unless you have a hardship without the penalty, you know, under the COVID program. And she and her husband made over $300-some thousand, and their incomes weren't, well, I'm not a lawyer, but I think she's in deep trouble because those are paper cases, you know.
That's right. She's okay, in.
Coach, I think John hit the nail on the head when he says these are paper cases. And I just want to hit a quick reset because I know a lot of people bring a bunch of different filler into a conversation and that stuff doesn't make it into the courtroom. The notion that it's my money. Yeah, you know, like we pay into Social Security right now. You know, some of us pay into Social Security. And we can say it's my money. Well, we can't withdraw it right now. And no different than when we pay into a deferred retirement program. You can access your money for a specific purpose, but the penalty on that money is greater if you withdraw it earlier. The area that's in dispute with this case is that she claimed a hardship so that she would eliminate that greater penalty where the financial advisors would discourage you from withdrawing that money because you could take a 40% hit on your money. You want to take out $100,000, you might only get $60K after the penalties and taxes. But because of the CARES Act, maybe that $60K could turn into $80K or $90K. And that is where this dispute comes in. And we already know the government don't play about their money. And we have to know that. So that's what we'll be discussing.
Yeah. Well, to me, and this is one man's opinion, she tried to be slick. And the government doesn't like it when you try to be slick. Okay? How in the world, and I know a lot of people like Mosby. I like Ms. Mosby personally. Mm-hmm. I thought she was very, very mediocre at best as a prosecutor. But as a person, she's a nice person. Okay, but how in the hell do you justify hardship when you made more money than you did the previous year? Well, you know what, ends me pretty good when you have a household income of over $300,000. That's how I see it. But speaking of money, let's go to my money, my expert, my man, Money Mike. Money Mike, talk to us.
Hey, Coach TJ, excellent job on the contract negotiation with Lamar. Y'all summarizing that and explaining that. But look, TJ, have you ever bought a house?
Yes, sir.
Coach, have you ever bought a house?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, my point is that there's a person and they're in the title company. And not only that, it's the closing company for the bank. Who authorizes that for that transfer of that money or for that transaction to take place? And I'm talking about the sale of a house. Now, I bought six houses, and I'll be honest. When those documents are going across those tables, not only do I bought my third house, but I really take the time to read a contract. Other than that, it was sign this. This is for this. This is for that. All right, sign it. And the closing. And so it's up for the people in the bank to do their due diligence about that, whether she has a lien or not. You know, that's the only one I think she's going to win on. I think they're going to throw it out because as a prosecutor or a defense attorney, I mean, I would ask the jurors, have you ever did something without the knowledge of your spouse? Have you signed a tax return? Have you purchased a house? Did you ever go to closing before? And if they're honest, they're
going to
probably throw it out.
Mike, unfortunately for her, she got three others. And as I said before, I'm not saying or predicting that she's going to be convicted on all four. But my prediction is I don't see her escaping all four. I do not see her escaping all four. And the hardship one with the CARES Act, I think, TJ, that's going to be the more difficult one. How do you prove a hardship when you increase your salary and you can't say it is for the businesses because there was a statement put out that you weren't operating the business as long as you were the state's attorney. How are you going to
Well, let me ask you this, TJ, real quick, Coach. Real TJ, did the feds ever offer you a chance to make good on this before we take it to trial? In your knowledge and your recollection.
Yeah, I think if you go back and you look at some of the people who've been charged with tax evasion, for instance, and you know, I don't want to bring up old people stuff, but like with the former commissioner of Baltimore City, after they made multiple efforts to collect and you've disregarded, then they say, you know what, now we're going there. I think they go out of their way to get you, and then you to get you to pay versus charging you with a criminal offense. And they're usually multiple things. It's not just you didn't file 1 year and you ignored it and you didn't pay that bill.
Yes.
It doesn't work that way. It becomes this crazy penalty, and then you ignore it. And you build up all that money. But I'll say this, with the Ed Norris case, for instance, that came down to the gift versus loan or whatever and the taxes you have to pay. When I bought my first house, I remember receiving some funds. And I remember having to document it, and I remember it being explained to me specifically in that language and why it was important and how it could implicate or have an impact on tax records. And again, it's a lot of stuff you read going over those loans.
Closing documents.
Those
closing documents.
But let me just say them.
Penalty perjury, and we all read those very carefully, or we should, because ignorance is no excuse for violating the law.
And especially if you are a trained professional attorney.
Lawyer.
Now,
yes.
Now here's the question. The question is, I don't believe the question is innocent of guilt or exoneration or conviction. To me, my question is, and it's unfortunate, but that's what arrogance will get you. And whether you like the state's attorney or not, you have to admit objectively, until she lost the election, she was arrogant. She was very arrogant as it pertains to this case. And once again, if you're going to challenge the feds, you're going to say this is a witch hunt, you're going to say it's nothing there, then hey, they're going to play the game with you. So it doesn't look good. Hey, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, 410-481-1010. Let's go to Lee. Lee, you're next up. Lee.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, look, I'm just calling there for a minute. I first want to address TJ with the Ed Norris. Do you think Ed Norris should be someone we call to ask for opinions on something? And he was, you know what I mean? He wasn't a good role model himself.
No, I'm not commenting on that, because at the end of the day, everybody
comment on it.
Thinks,
I mean, it's just yes or no. You know what I mean?
But I'm not going to relitigate the debt that Ed paid to society. People listen to him. That's why he's been on radio.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, okay, he was in a political eye, but what I'm saying is this. He was commissioner. I mean, whatever he did, he did. I'm saying like when Fox 45 called a comment, gave him a comment on a certain situation, I don't think he should be commenting on anything.
That's what they
thought. But let me hold up. We're short on time. Ed Norris is not under investigation right now. Ed Norris trial doesn't start next
week.
This is the Marilyn Mosby trial. So what are your thoughts on the Marilyn Mosby situation?
My thought is this. I think a lot of people put a lot of time and effort on trying to bring her down, whereas though she got a due date in court, you know what I mean? So we should wait and judge before everybody putting a lot of judgment on her. I mean,
take that same advice when somebody pays their debt to society and move on. So we shouldn't even be worried about what Ed's doing.
I agree.
But he pays his debt to society. I don't think so, because like I say, he shouldn't be commenting on anything.
He can't even be a working police officer anymore because he is a convicted felon. He carries that.
He hasn't been convicted of anything yet, though. That's what I'm saying.
Hold it. Let me explain to you how radio goes. Talk radio. Good talk radio. Not foolishness. Good talk radio talks about a story. and a trial, and the host and the co-host give their opinions on it. Now, as I've stated, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you what the outcome is going to be, but I will tell you what I think it's going to be, and I think she will be convicted of at least one or two of the indictments. In other words, I don't see her escaping all four indictments. And I said it, and I said it just now.
And I want to say this real quick, Coach, before we go to the next call. If the next weekend trial ends and she is acquitted of the charges, put it to bed, it's over with, and she goes on with her life, Coach. And we need to relitigate what a jury of her peers in the courtroom has done.
Yes, sir.
Coach, I got one more thing to ask.
Appreciate the call.
Hold up real quick. Go ahead.
What you think about the teacher up in PG County that was charged with child pornography, and he was on probation for it, and the probation officer, the one, found it on his computer and called the police. But I don't hear nobody talking about that.
Because we're in Baltimore. We're not PG County.
We're in Baltimore. Thanks for the call.
But it's still with the crime.
Hold it, sir. Hold up. If you want to hear what goes on in D.C., listen to me on Sunday mornings, 11 o'clock, on our sister station, 1450, or my podcast, where I do the state of D.C. once a month. But right now, this is Baltimore. This is 1010 WOLB, not OL. Take that foolishness someplace else. All right. Let's see. Who do we have up next? 410 481. All right. Let's go to Wendy. Wendy, up next.
Hey. Hello. Now, in reference to...
Yes, you're on the air.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
To Marilyn Mosby. Now, under the CARES Act, that came during the pandemic, and specifically, it was allowed anybody who had investment in that, they could claim a hardship without even any documentation. Anybody's hardship was compared to somebody else's hardship. So that was a goal across the board. So you could get that money for anything. You just had to say hardship, and they weren't.
But Wendy, what about having a business that she or her spokesperson through her said was inoperable? Where's the hardship there?
Okay, then the hardship didn't. Her getting the money wasn't pertaining to the business.
Was it pertaining?
Your money. That was her money.
But where was okay, I'm asking you this, Wendy. If you said it wasn't about the business, where was the hardship? Where was the hardship?
This is the hardship. It was personal, so it doesn't deem for anybody else to be questionable.
Wendy, what you just said.
They gave us that.
Wendy, but what you just said made no sense. I'm sorry. You can't just... take your money out. Wendy, listen, and I'll let you respond.
Okay.
You can't just take your money out, claim a hardship, and not point to where the hardship is. That's nonsensical.
Okay. In one sense, you're absolutely right, okay? But the CARES Act was a specific time frame that came into place because of the pandemic. Prior to the pandemic, no, you could not do that.
And Wendy, you still have to, regardless of it, TJ, I mean, help me, man, because sometimes...
I'm letting you know, because we did it. This is
it makes no sense what you're saying.
Show, I don't care how much...
Wendy,
you was allowed Wendy, over 100,000...
Wendy, what you're saying is nonsensical. What you're saying is, Wendy, we've got thousands of people listening with good sense, and they're shaking their heads with what you just said, that you can just say, hey, I'm under the CARES Act because of the pandemic. I want to withdraw money. I got a hardship, but don't explain or justify the hardship.
But Coach, that's what I think Wendy is saying, and this is what will be litigated in court next week, what Wendy is saying, if I interpret her right. Is that when the pandemic hit and this CARES Act went into place, the normal rules where you had to explain that hardship were suspended. And now you just simply claim a hardship, and that's suffice enough. We don't know what your heart
I don't think that's the case, though.
That is the case, then that's a sound argument. If that
But that's not the case.
Yeah. If
that is not the case.
She works for the federal government, and that's and she works for the CARES Act. That's what she.
Well, look, if she works for the federal government, then I'm not doubting what she said. But what she said is nonsensical. No disrespect to her, but that statement makes no sense. Let's take a couple more calls. She's definitely wrong. I mean, come on, the federal government doesn't just give money away. All right, let's go. 410-481-1010. Let's go to Piera. Piera, you're up next.
Hello, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question. Do you believe that a quarter... I have two questions. And one is, when can a water disaster such as what's going on in Baltimore be declared by the government, by the federal government, as a national disaster, such as what is going on in Jackson, Mississippi, as compared to the water crisis in Baltimore? And do you believe that one issue can cost a mayor his or her ability to get reelected again if they choose to run for a second term?
Yeah, thanks for
TJ, you take the first part, and I'll take the second part.
Yeah, and really quickly, I'll wrap it up with a crisis absolutely can have a major effect on reelection. And I believe that the local government and the state government has to request the federal assistance. The local government has to request the state assistance. So these things don't automatically happen. And I believe that's part of the civics of the separation of powers and separation of state and local. So we didn't rise to the level of what's going on in Jackson, but it was an absolute crisis that was going on in West Baltimore last week. And with, in my opinion, better communication, I think that it would have been mitigated a bit better earlier in order to affect the affected people. Coach?
Real quick, yes, as you stated, TJ, accurately, a crisis can uplift a leader or it can destroy a leader. And the example of uplifting, you look at Giuliani, you know, doing 9/11. Whatever you think of him now, he did a great job, in my opinion, doing 9/11. And in terms of a takedown politically, look at Stephanie Rollins Blake doing the Freddie Gray situation. If it weren't for Freddie Gray, she would have probably been reelected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at Ray Nagin in New Orleans after Katrina. A crisis can do you in. But do we have time for one more call, or where are we with time?
All right, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, crisis can do it, folks. Yeah. And I know that they, things have gotten wrapped up. Big shout out to our health commissioner, Dr. DeRosa. She needs to do voiceover. She is a calming voice in the midst of a crisis. And she's been front and center, of course, with our COVID pandemic. And then again last week with the E. coli thing. And she really has a very clear and even keeled tone throughout a lot of this. Okay. So I'm glad we're past this now.
All right. And folks, hope you enjoyed today's show. Pass the word. And again, if you want to sponsor, hey, Butch McAdams at yahoo.com, TJ Smith Media at gmail.com. And next week will be even better, but until then, be safe, be blessed, make good decisions, because life is hard, but it's even harder when you're stupid. We out.